episode 23 of the 20 Minutes of Filler podcast. That game was better before it was published.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, I'm Jason Katarski.
I'm Andrew Lennox.
Awesome, and we're here to bring you some goodness.
Great little games.
Goodness in small packages. So it's been a little while, a couple weeks. How you been, man?
Great. I'm playing some games.
You're playing some games?
A little bit of games. Just a couple.
Yeah, just a little? What have you been doing? Like, having a real job or something?
Yeah, I have a real job. We put out an Android app at my job, so if you are terrible at math or you have children who are also terrible at math, because generally they are, search for on the Google Play Store for IXL Math Practice. Me and my team put that out. We've got an iOS one, too, that's been out for a while, but I'm really proud of it. Wanted to get that out there.
That's awesome. And we have not been paid for this promotion.
No.
Well, Andy has.
I just like my job, and I like the people I work with, and I want people to use our app. So
sweet. And math, you know, that's fun.
Math is great.
It's not so much.
If you play games, you better know math.
I do math best when I don't know I'm doing math.
Yeah.
In games. So that's cool.
Sweet.
So what have you been playing in the meantime?
So I went out to California for work, and I always try to make room in my carry-on for games. And I try to bring small games, but I couldn't resist. I got a new game, Eldritch Horror.
Okay.
So we played that. It's a fun game. It's not filler fare, but it's...
It's like horror Cthulhu craziness,
it's
right?
It's very role-playing, and there's lots of scenarios and little things you can go through.
And now, isn't this is like a sequel to Arkham Horror, the Richard Lanius game?
It's sort of, yeah, it's like the spiritual successor to it, because it's a lot simpler than that, and it's a lot more light. It still takes a while to play, but that's just because there's like so much text and reading, and that's my favorite part of it, is like there's all these like little, very thematic scenarios that you go through, and we dramatically read them to each other, and just stupid stuff happens to your character. You'll walk into a portal and end up in another weird world and transported to Australia, and then you make a dark pact with horrible creatures from another realm, and it's silly.
Awesome.
It sounds scary, but it's just silly because it's a silly board game that you're telling stories to each other.
Nice. And did you say you played it by yourself last night too?
I played a solo, but it's okay. But it's not as fun because you're not dramatically reading stories to each other.
Okay.
So I would recommend playing that with at least one other person.
Cool.
Gameplay was good, though.
That's cool. That just makes me think about another topic for probably a future show, but like solo games. So do you play any other games by yourself? Like tabletop games. I'm talking about like on the iPad or whatever.
Yeah, not much filler fare, but I played Robinson Crusoe.
Yeah.
Solo, and that's better, I think, because it's more puzzly. And it's more of a fun puzzle to try and solve. But, like, I don't play a lot of solo games. I mainly play them when I get a new game and it has a solo mode and the wife is, like, not up for gaming that evening. So I'll just bust it out and play it anyway.
Yeah.
And I've been really into Eldritch Horror lately, playing a lot of it with lots of people. So
one of the ones I play that's kind of filler solo-y is SOS Titanic.
Oh, yeah.
Which is actually by Bruno Cathala, which we're going to have an episode coming up pretty soon about a couple of his new games. But and then, what's the other one that I do solo sometimes? Onerim by Z-Man Games, and a little card game. So they're a little simpler, but
that's
kind of a neat... We'll dive into that more. But it's kind of fun. We don't have a partner to rock some gaming.
There's a Kickstarter right now for a strictly solo game.
I backed it, dude.
I was just going to mention it. I got to back it.
It's AJ Porfirio from Van Ryder Games.
Yes.
Is that the one you're talking about?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Hostage Negotiator.
It looks really cool.
Yeah, it looks awesome. So it's been getting lots of good feedback. Backers have been going crazy for it. So take a look at that on Kickstarter now. Hostage Negotiator.
Yeah. The other thing I got in my carry-on was Splendor. So if you take all of the components of Splendor out
of the giant
put
box.
Them like in this tiny little bag, so that I take that wherever I go.
That's cool.
I take it out of the box and bring it with me and introduce that to a bunch of people at work too, and they ate it. They love that game. They're a bunch of computer scientists, so everybody was like, I could write a AI for this that would blah blah blah.
I was
like, just play the game.
Yeah, just play the game. That's cool. You know,
it was super fun.
Speaking of that game, that was one of the ones that was nominated for the Spiel des Jahres, and we have the winner was announced, and it wasn't Splendor, which we predicted.
Yeah.
Which was a big shocker to me, but it's the only one I haven't played was the one that, Camel Up. It's coming later in the year or early next year from Z-Man Games in the U.S.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, Z-Man picked it up, and it's a little race game about camels. It has a novel mechanic, and it's been compared to one of my favorite games of all time, Winter Circle by Reiner Knizia. So I'm really in, which you can't get anymore, so I'm excited about that. So yeah, I've been playing some games too. I went to Dice Tower Convention because my game Heartland Holland was nominated for a Dice Tower Award that I didn't win, but it was close. Apparently, I was like runner up by a number of points.
They
so,
tell everybody yeah. that.
No, I was the only one they said that about, dude. And my head, my heart was broken and my head inflated at the same time. You know, like one of those deals. But that was a cool experience while we were there.
It's deserving. I love that game.
Well, thank you. While we were there, we played some games. They had an awesome game library. If you want to go to Florida in the summer and go to an awesome convention, look at Dice Tower Convention next year. But we played Concept, which was one of the other nominees.
Oh, I haven't played it yet, but I've...
Oh, it's fun, dude.
I want to buy it just because the board looks like this crazy, complicated mess of pictures and weird symbols. And it looks like it might be the most like complicated board game of all time. But it's not. It's a party game.
It
You're
is.
Like, what is going on here?
Well, and it's one of those games that's not a game kind of a thing. So it's like, I mean, it's a game and there's scoring and that's fine. But it's about the experience. Like Telestrations, where you're like, have you ever played Telestrations, the drawing
yes,
game? Or
Eat
Poop You Cat, right? You draw a picture and pass it and make a funny story out of it. Or like you see what happens by the end, like telephone with drawing. Well, this one is coming up with a way to describe a concept by working on teams to kind of just put some little cubes and meeples on these pictures on the board to help. It's like visual charades, essentially. So it was fun. We played it with a group of five people at Dice Tower Con and had a blast with that. And then one that I've been going crazy for is Tok Tok Woodman or Click Clack Lumberjack, which is an awesome dexterity game.
Oh, cool.
Oh, my gosh. Like, we played that one there, and I instantly went to Twitter and said, anybody got a copy of this? It's out of print. I need it. People are trying to sell them for $100. And one of my Twitter friends gave it to me for free because she had two copies. She's awesome.
Nice.
Yeah, so thank you, Suzanne, if you're listening. You're awesome.
Oh, her. Yeah.
Yeah, you know her?
Yeah.
she hooked me out, dude. It was
sweet.
Awesome. And Claire loves it. And, oh, if you can find it, get it. It might be coming back in print, but it's really great.
Speaking of Lumberjacks, that's another game I've been playing too much of. Timberman.
Oh, my goodness.
For iOS.
Timberman is the greatest video game creation since Mario Brothers.
It's so dumb and so simple.
I got my highest score last night, which is nowhere near yours or Chris Kopak's.
Kopak.
I got like something like 248, so I was pretty stoked. But
play
anyway.
Timberman. There's a free version with ads, so
and
just
it,
play it.
Yeah, tweet your high scores at us so we can cry about how much better
how
you
terrible
are
we are at this game
with your thumbs. Yeah, so I went to that, and then that was during family vacation, and then what else did we do? Oh, I've been working. Oh yeah, we went to Protospiel.
Yeah.
Well, yesterday. And that was cool. That was in Ann Arbor, so it's an hour away from home.
Yeah.
Where we go and as designers work on our upcoming games and get feedback. And it's like a design community. So it's mostly game designers and played some new games. And I was kind of fine-tuning Fidelitas, which I'm really excited about. You guys heard about that in the last episode. And if you didn't, go check it out. But that is... I've been working a lot on that because I launch on Friday, August 1st. Yeah, this coming Friday, we're going to launch that Kickstarter. So I hope that at 8 a.m. Eastern, you'll roll out of bed and throw some money at it if you think it looks cool. Lots of reviews have been coming in and getting lots of good feedback. And I'm biting off my fingernails and wetting the bed. And oh my. I'm super excited to bring this game out. And that's cool. Just been consuming a lot of my time. But also at Protospiel, this is kind of what we're going to be talking about is the feature for our show is you go to these design events like Unpub and Protospiel, and you are in the heart of the indie design community. You've got big publishers there looking for games. You've got established designers. You've got new designers. You've got designers that are self-publishing. And it's pretty cool because you get to see these games before they're published.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that's what we mean. At the beginning of the show, he said, you know, it was better before it was published, right? Because we're hipsters like that.
Yeah.
But one of the cool things that happens is there are people that are just straight up hobbyists, right? Or maybe they've never had a game published by a big traditional publisher or Medium or any traditional publisher. There are options for taking your games and bringing them to the market so your friends and your family can try them. Maybe you don't. You have a job that you love, like Andy over here, and it doesn't need to be like your job or your career. You just do it because you love it. Yeah. We all do it because we love it.
It's defining your own success. So, like, I think anybody who's interested in games and making games, like, you don't have to. You can be like Jason here and make it your entire life, or you can be like me, and it's like I've defined success as. If I can make games that I like and that my friends like, and then something happens with them at some point in time, cool. And if not, whatever. So, like, I think you can define your own success and you go to these events and you can have a good time and you can help people make their games and they can help make your games better. And just that process of creation is what I'm in it for. So I think if you have an inkling to make a game or you have a game idea, you should do it. You should come out and see us at Unpub or Protospiel, and we'll give you some pointers, and hopefully you'll give us some too.
Yeah. Yeah, so kind of one of the first steps for a lot of these indie designers, after they've kind of gotten some basic feedback, and it's not always the case, but a lot of times people get a decent game put together, and they throw some art on it, and they want to throw it out in the world, so they use print-on-demand services. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of it was born out of the book publishing industry, I think, what kind of started doing print-on-demand first. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, there was... I'm racking my brain.
But like CreateSpace and these ideas that anybody's a writer. You write your book, you put it online, and they'll print one book when somebody orders it. You can make one book for yourself, or you can make 100 copies to sell. Or
them called, like, Vanity Press.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Yeah, totally. So they take this idea. Companies like The Game Crafter, which is thegamecrafter.com, or Drive-Thru Cards or Drive-Thru RPGs, have created resources for indie designers to upload their files and open little online stores where they will print one copy of your game at a time. The Game Crafter is pretty unique because they have a whole slew of components that you can choose from and say, I want to add these cubes, I want to add these dice, I want to add this and a box, and you get to kind of handpick everything that goes in your box, and they will put it together one copy at a time and send it to the person who buys it.
Yeah, and people use these services in different ways, so you often see people just putting their game prototypes on there to like and keeping the project private, just to order their own pieces.
That's what I do usually.
Yeah, to have nicer components for their games. But you also see people who like that's their main creative outlet. Like they sell games through there, and they, you know, that's their finished product is on the Game Crafter, and they will send you to the Game Crafter to get their finished product. So it runs the gamut from people just messing around and ordering pieces to like make games, or actually just selling games straight up as like using these services as a marketplace for their games.
And that was another way that I used it one time was also it was kind of in between where I created Frog Flip with my daughter. Mm-hmm. And we put up, I printed 50 copies to sell at local conventions as kind of a promo and to get some feedback from other players and reviewers. And eventually, that was my first edition of the game. I eventually signed it with Sprocket Games and Michael Fox released it, a kind of more official version of it. So it was a proving ground for Frog Flip. And, yeah. And there's been several games that have been picked up from these print-on-demand sites and brought to a full publication. Some of the ones that Fifth Street Games have put out. Farmageddon was originally a game that was on the Game Crafter, and and it was published by Fifth Street Games.
Oh, cool.
So there's lots of cool stories about that where hey, you're getting feedback. You like, as a publisher, you get to see if people like it already, you know, and yeah. Then you get to find these kind of indie games that are out there and a little bit under the radar.
Yeah, and then there's people like our friend Daniel Solis, we had him on the show.
Yeah.
Who he releases games strictly, like, I mean, he's got games coming out through other channels, but he's releasing like a game a month on Drive-Thru Cards. And that's his like plan. Like, he just wants to keep cranking out these games, and he's got like his, you know, his following and group of people that are really into his games. I count myself as one of them. I own like way too many of these games. And so like people use these services for all different kinds of things, and if you keep your eyes peeled, you can find some really great little games on these sites.
Yeah, definitely. So we're going to share just a couple of the ones that we've discovered on these print-on-demand sites, and maybe you can go searching around and find some, and you can tell us about the good stuff that you've found. So what's one of the ones that you want to mention?
Well, like I said, Daniel Solis has lots of great games, but by far my favorite is called Suspense the Card Game.
And this is through DriveThruCards.com.
DriveThruCards, and if you just search for Suspense the Card Game, you'll find it. And it's a 13 card game, and it's only three players. So the game's only 13 cards and three players. You deal out all the cards, you put one in the middle, and the idea is you want to like deduce what the card in the middle is. Because each card has a separate win condition on it. So for example, there's highest number in hand, highest black number in hand, lowest number in hand, lowest black number in hand, lowest white number in hand. So all the cards are like either white or black, and then 1 through 6. Yeah. So there's a card in the middle that says what the win condition is, and then on your turn you can play a card or pass or fold. And if you fold and you couldn't have won, you gain a point. But if you meet the win condition, you get the number of points on the card that you won with. And it's a very, very thinky, brain-burny, like, deduction game. It gets really deep really fast, and it's only 13 cards, and it's really cheap. Mm-hmm. And everyone should just own this game because it's fun and simple.
It's really... We mentioned this one before, one other time, just briefly, but, you know... Daniel's main job is to do graphic design, right? And this game looks beautiful. It's like he took fonts and some kind of background textures and laid out these beautiful, beautiful cards that kind of had this like B-movie feel to them. 1960s
B-movies, like, all aboard the insidious Styx on the river Styx. Beware the double feature.
Yeah.
Open door number 6.
It's mostly numbers and fonts and some icons, but it looks fantastic.
Yeah.
So this is like that shows you what these platforms can be, because some of the games you get on these print-on-demand sites, like, they're made by amateur designers, and amateur graphic art is applied to
them. The bar to entry is low, so that for what it's worth.
right. But it's kind of the diamond in the rough situation. You keep looking. So one of the ones that I've been really digging is a game that's available on the Game Crafter called Royals, and it is by a person named Jackson Lin, L-I-N. And this game is like a 34-card game about the imperialists and the royalists that are competing to replace the throne that has been vacated by the dead king, right? But they're cats and dogs. And each card, it's this really simple, quick game. You have 5 cards in your hand, and each card has a dominance value that you play in front of you, and that's like how many points. So you're trying to build your tableau of points up to make it higher than everyone else's in order to win. But each card has a windfall. So when you play the consort, which is the face-up card with value on it, it has a victory condition. If you have the most royalists, you might get a bonus. So you can play it as a consort, but it also has another option on every card that's called a scheme. So you play it sideways, and it's an action that manipulates the cards that are in front of you. So the game is like you deal out 5 cards to each player, and you have to size up that hand and say, which of these windfalls am I most likely to achieve, and what is my best dominance options, and how, like, you puzzle out how you should play those cards and figure out the timing of how you should play those cards, and then you decide which schemes do I want to use to mess with other players. Again, another game that has great art and design to it, and a lot of gameplay for 34 cards and 5-10 minutes of gameplay. So that one's available at the Game Crafter.
And the last one I want to recommend is Village in a Box. This is a Game Crafter game, and they did a Kickstarter where you could, a while back, where you could get a bunch of games, and they like sort of handpicked some of the games that they put in this Kickstarter. And this was one of them, and I've been looking at it a long time, and it's this really simple game. The cards are like a top-down view of a village, so there's like a bunch of green field, and then like some building and some trees and some roads. And on your turn, you draw 6 cards, and then you build any cards that you want, and all you need to do to build cards is play them down in front of you, and then you can trade cards with the other players, and you just keep doing that until somebody has 20 points. And it sounds like ridiculously simple, but a lot of these cards have prerequisites that you need before you can play them down. And those are obviously worth more points. So you're trying to puzzle your way through, like, do I hold on to this card that's really expensive because it's worth a lot of points and I want to... Am I going to be able to see these prerequisites at some point in time? And it's... And the trading aspect makes it really fun because you're trying to help other people a little bit and help yourself more. That kind of thing is going on. And the art's pretty simple and it looks hand-drawn, but when you start like putting the cards in front of you, like there's no real specific way to put them. You're not supposed to stack them up. You can actually sort of like put them together to build your little village. So you like line up the roads and it has this really neat like visual feel to it where you're actually putting hills and quarries and shepherds and barracks and farms together to make this little village area, and it ends up looking kind of like a map of your village. It's really nice. So I recommend Village in a Box. It's a quick little game for 2 to 4 players from the Game Crafter.
Cool. Yeah, it looks really neat. And you know, I have one more in mind. I haven't played it yet, but I just got it. And it's by our friend Rob Couch from the Building the Game podcast. And it has a great theme and a fun look to it. It's called Epic Monster Tea Party.
I played this game. And yeah. It's silly fun.
Silly fun. Awesome. Yeah, it just what happens to monsters when they're done smashing the city, right? They take their people that they've collected and they smash them into tea and celebrate their destruction over afternoon tea.
There's like a lot of different colored meeples, and you reach in the bag, you pull out a meeple, and you choose to either smush it, which gives you an ability, or put it in your teacup, which if you... There's another meeple in there that lets you score everything in your teacup. Nope. So you put it in your teacup to score it. It's got these like little paper craft
teacups. That's the coolest part. That's the deluxe version, right? You got to get the $25 box.
Yeah.
And you cut out these cards that have foldable teacups on them. Yeah. And they're super cute. And the monsters are made like... He did the illustration with like a... using fabric textures to make monsters. So it's a really neat look, and it kind of plays on those B-movie tropes of like the kaiju movies and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's definitely worth a look. And Rob's a friend of ours who's doing some neat stuff, so I was glad to pick that one up, and I can't wait to get it to the table. Well, that's cool. So you have some games to look at, some websites to poke around. Thanks for listening again. I just want to encourage you, please go check out Fidelitas from Green Couch Games on Kickstarter on August 1st. And let us know what you think. And please also shoot us some tweets and let us know what other print-on-demand games you're playing and what you're looking at that looks really exciting. If you want to interact with us on Twitter, you can find me at Jason Katarski.
I'm at Andy_Lennox.
And if you want to hear more great podcasts, we are a part of the Dice Tower Network. So go to the Dice Tower or DiceTowerNetwork.com and check out some other great shows. Gaming. Whose tagline is that? That I just stole.
Have fun gaming.
That's another podcast that I just stole from. Yeah, have fun gaming. I don't remember. Happy Mitten, maybe.
Oh.
Or I don't know. But anyway, I stole somebody's tagline.
Game your face off.
Listen to all the podcasts you can, so you find out who I stole, and you win translucent meeple or something from somebody's collection. Who I will tell you at a later date.
This should come after the music.
Yeah.